Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Political hitmen.
I'm Howie Silbiger, your political hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. Welcome to the program. You could get in on the conversation, and the way to do that, of course, is, if you're in North America, dialing 301-768-4841. If you're in Israel, you could dial 02-6500-151. You could go to the website, israelnewstalkradio.com, click on the big orange button and join me in the chat room. I'll be in the chat room the entire show. This week started off really good, and then it's been kind of getting worse as the week goes on. But it started off as a really good week. On Sunday, I read a great news report saying that that Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah had a heart attack, was on the verge of death. And that was the best news that I could have heard all week. I was really happy. All day on Sunday, I was cheering and happy. I know. The Bible says we shouldn't be cheering when our enemies are dying. They're still made in the image of God. I understand that. But a little piece of me couldn't help but be absolutely satisfied with the kind of justice that God would give a guy like that. And the article also said that he was suffering from cancer for the last couple of years. And I really hope it's a really painful cancer. And I hope he suffers for a few more years before he dies. On Sunday evening, the reports were denied. And a voice came onto the radio saying that they dismissed claims that Nasrallah was sick as a Zionist ploy, the biggest lie of the new year, blah, 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 blah. All right, fine. I'm sure Hassan Nasrallah is exactly the same way as Saddam Hussein was when he said, "I have weapons of mass destruction," lying through his teeth. And God willing, justice will come to him. I'm Howie Silbiger. This is the Political Hitman Show on Israel News Talk Radio. You could feel free to join me on the air in North America, 301-768-4841. In Israel, 02-6500-151. You could join me in the chat room on israelnewstalkradio.com. When we come back, I want to talk about terrorism. I want to talk about Israel terrorism, world terrorism, and anti-Jewism. I will be right back on this.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Political hitman.
Silbiger, this is Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me. You could join me in the chat room. Just go to IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com and click on that big orange button that says chat room. I'll be in the chat room the entire show. You could call in because I always like to hear from the listeners. I always like you to call in. Numbers to call in North America, 301-768-4841. In Israel, 02-6500-151. So just before the break, I was telling you about Hassan Nasrallah, who's denying claims that he had a heart attack. And I was alluding to the fact that he's lying and that Saddam Hussein lied when he said that he didn't have weapons of mass – when he said he had weapons of mass destruction, which ended up in his downfall and the destruction of his country and, of course, him hanging. Because, you know, when people lie, this is never comes out good. As we're on the break, I came across a story that I have to share with you because I think it's just the epitome of everything that we're talking about on this show, everything we talk about in this station, everything we've been talking about for years. All right. So Hassan Nasrallah was lying about having cancer and about his health being bad. He said that the media was lying about him. So you tell me if this is a truthful article. I'm going to read you this. You tell me how truthful this is. The global community, and this is from the Jerusalem Post, the global community must band together to combat terrorism, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas said on Tuesday, after he took over the chairmanship of the UN Nation Group of 77 in China, the organization's largest bloc of member states. So the UN created a new world order with this group of 77 that started this week, and they put, of course, the Palestinian Authority in charge of this new world order because in the UN's vision, this is what it is. It's the hierarchy of victimization. And in their minds, the Palestinian Authority are the most victimized people, and their people are the most victimized people in the world. Therefore, they have to run the world. And so the UN's group of 77 in China, the 77 dictator countries in China are now one big bloc, and they're being led by Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. So he said that the global community must band together to combat terrorism. I agree with him 100%. They should arrest him as the chief terrorist of the Middle East. He broke the proceedings at the UN headquarters in New York to condemn terrorism after hearing during the meeting that gunmen blasted their way into a hotel and office complex in Kenya on Tuesday, killing 7 people. Now, the attack occurred as Abbas was in the middle of leading his meeting as chairman of the Group of 77 in New York. Terrorism takes place worldwide, he said, on a daily basis. It's an epidemic, and I therefore call on all countries of the world to cooperate, to put an end to terrorism, to uproot it. So just before I continue, just before I continue the story, because I mean, I'm trying not to laugh at this, but before I continue with the story, I just want to remind you, if any of you traveled over the holidays, if any of you went flying, you've gone to an airplane over the holidays and had to go through vigorous security checks to get onto an airplane, you could thank Mahmoud Abbas and his mentor, the late Yasser Arafat, for that privilege, because it was Mahmoud Abbas and Yasser Arafat as a team, along with Saeed Erekat, who worked together to hijack airplanes in the 1970s and 80s. It is because of them that airport security and this whole concept of hijacking airplanes came into being. They created airplane hijackings. Now, Mahmoud Abbas, who says that he's totally against terrorism, we must stop this global scourge of terrorism, he said. Mahmoud Abbas, of course, is the man who funded the Munich a terror attack that killed the Israeli Olympics. He is the man who is behind the PLO until Yasser Arafat died. He was the financier of the PLO, the fundraiser, as they say, of the PLO until Yasser Arafat died. So for this man who is responsible for a lot of the terrorism that happens in Israel, this man whose group, the PLO, is responsible for this, because Fatah still commits terror attacks against Israelis, to stand up in the UN and say that he condemns terror is just so farcical. It's just the epitome of what the UN is. So now you have to understand that that they recognized, the UN recognized internally Palestine as a state. So he calls it the State of Palestine. And he says that it's adopted 83 protocols of 83 countries through the world to put an end to the scourge of terrorism and to fight against terrorism. And he calls on all states to work with us to combat terrorism. Now, let me stop again, because I think it's important to know that Yasser Arafat's dead, but Mahmoud Abbas's PLO also pays terrorists for committing terror attacks against Jews. They pay salaries to terrorists who commit terror attacks against Jews. They take international money that's supposed to be for aid, international money that's supposed to be for building infrastructure, and they use it to pay terrorist salaries and to pay for TV stations that promote the massacre of Israelis and Jews. But here he is standing at the UN today saying that he condemns terror. Now, after the meeting, Israeli ambassador to the UN, Danny Danon, said that while Abbas claims he will advance the work of developing nations, the PA, the Palestinian Authority, pays terrorist salaries from its budget that should be used for infrastructure and development. This will not help the Palestinian people and will be abuse of the G77's goals, he said. Now, for the Palestinians, for the people who call themselves Palestinians, this is more than a small step towards broader recognition of statehood. Abbas was received with loud applause and smiles. Officials at the meeting repeatedly dropped the phrase "the state of Palestine" often. Yeah, of course they did, because they created this whole illusion. Now, Palestinian Authority officials say that the State of Palestine presidency of the G77 and China was a huge and historic achievement for the made-up people of Palestine. They also said that they would pave the way for the establishment of an independent Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital. I don't think that's ever going to happen. Now, the Palestinian Authority Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki told CBS News that Palestinians intend to push forward with its bid for UN membership, even though the U.S. would likely try to veto the move at the Security Council. The 15-member UNSC must approve the UN membership bids, of course. The Security Council has to approve UN membership bids. Now, the Palestinian Authority is consulting with the UN Security Council members. The moment we conclude the process, we will present the application. Now, PLO Secretary General Saeb Erekat, who visited many cities in the last little while, and about 5-7 years ago, visited Canada. And while in Canada, he was in Ottawa, and he met with rabbis and Jewish community leaders in Ottawa who were instructed, the rabbis were instructed by the Jewish Federations of Canada to sit quietly and listen to what these people had to say. And Saeb Erekat said that that the Israelis were committing a genocide against the Palestinians living in Judea Samaria. And so now he is the Secretary General of the State of Palestine, the fictional State of Palestine at the fictional United Nations, because they're not really united. It's only a bunch of nations. I wouldn't call them united. And Saeb Erekat is now, you know, he is a chairman of a group which represents 134 nations. And he said it was a historic step that was made by the sacrifices of our people and their long struggle for freedom. Now, when he talks about the sacrifices of his people, make no mistake, what he is talking about is the genocidal bombers who died killing Jews in Israel. When he talks about the historic step that was made by the sacrifices of our people, he's not talking about the so-called occupation. He's not talking about the so-called refugees. He's talking about what he considers the martyrs who gave their lives and killed themselves in their quest to destroy the state of Israel. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about anything else. So don't think that just because the United Nations put together this fictional mock UN that the Palestinians are now the head of, that it changes anything in the philosophy of the Palestinian Authority and their drive to destroy the Jewish state and annihilate every person living there. Don't think that their whole idea of terrorism and their whole idea of terrorizing the Jewish people, the Israeli people, is different now that they're part of an official UN agency. They still want to kill Jews. They still want to kill Israelis. They still want to eradicate the state of Israel. Don't be fooled by them, and don't let BDS supporters and don't let the lefties fool you. This is their goal. And when they say we want to create the state of Palestine with East Jerusalem as our capital, they are talking about taking over the entire state of Israel. Just look at their maps. Go to their website. Look at their maps. That's what they want. Don't be fooled by this illusion. Don't be fooled by the United Dictators Association giving them some credibility. They have no credibility. They're a terror group created in 1964 with the sole intent of destroying the Jewish nation, period. That's what their goal was then. That's what their raison d'être was then when they were created. And that is what they are today. Nothing has changed. And we have to keep repeating it. We have to keep telling people. We have to keep reminding the world that the only reason that these so-called people exist is for the destruction of the state of Israel. That's why they exist. I'm Howie Silverberg. Give me a call. North America, 301-768-4841. In Israel, 0265-00151.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I'm Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Political Hitman.
Hi, I'm Howie Silverberg. This is Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. We are live, so you can call in. Number to call in North America, 301-768-4841. In Israel, you could dial 0265-00151. You could join me in the chat room on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Click on the orange button that says chat room, and the conversation has already started in the chat room. I really love following the conversation in the chat room during the show. It's always interesting. It's always exciting. And I really like to do that. So we were talking about the Palestinian Authority and the United Nothing. And I just wanted to move this over a little bit because I think it's important that we understand the origins of this whole thing. So let's talk about blood libels. Blood libels, you'd think that they were a thing of the past. For centuries, stories of Jews being responsible for killing of Jesus, using Christian blood to make matzahs, and many more. Look, there's a century-old book, Protocols of the Elders of Zion, that was commissioned by the Tsar of Russia that exposes even more hateful lies and scapegoats to Jews. But these blood libels have fueled rampant persecution and annihilation of Jewish populations. So in the 1930s, the Nazis sold the German people on the notion that the Jews were responsible for the downfall of Germany after World War I, and rode that notion into World War II and the Holocaust, which I think is the most horrifying event of the 20th century. The libels continued, and Jews suffered, and then, as if some kind of magical spell was cast on the world, blood libels against the Jews were pretty much disappeared by near the end of the 20th century. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that suddenly the world started loving the Jews, because that would be a disingenuous and ridiculous thing to say. What I am arguing is that Jewish blood libels suddenly converted into Israel blood libels. So instead of targeting the Jews, which I guess would be a faux pas in today's day and age, targeting Israel and spreading lies about Israel was an appropriate replacement, especially after Israel won quickly and efficiently the Six-Day War of 1967. Now, in 1964, let's move back a little bit. In 1964, licking their wounds after the defeat in the 1956 war with Israel, the Arab countries formed an alliance. They called themselves the Arab League, and it was decided that they would make all the decisions regarding how Arab countries handled the Israel problem. At their first summit in Cairo, they decided to form an organization, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, that would represent the, quote, Palestinian people, a nation that did not exist before the decision was made. The goal, quite simply, was the elimination of the state of Israel and the liberation of, quote, Palestine through armed struggle. Now, the Palestinian National Covenant, which was adopted later in the year, put forth the claim that the Zionists had expelled the Palestinians from their land under the pretense that Jews had a historic and Jewish connection to the land. The PLO demanded that Palestinian refugees be allowed to return to the land stolen from them. Article 2 of their covenant states that Palestine comprised of borders of the British Mandate of Palestine and is an indecisive territorial unit. In other words, there is no room within that land for a Jewish state. Now, this past month, just a couple of weeks ago, current PLO chairman Mahmoud Abbas, He admitted during a speech that the Arabs that left their lands in 1948 did so under the orders of the Arab leadership, who promised a quick destruction of the Jewish state and Arab return to their land as soon as possible, within a week. This, of course, never happened, as the Arabs lost the war against Israel. By making that admission, the PLO chairman nullified one of the biggest blood libels against the Israeli state, that they are living on stolen land. The PLO has officially admitted that Zionists did not steal Palestinian land, and by admitting that, they have de facto admitted that all Jews and others that have been massacred to liberate stolen land have actually been killed for other purposes. So now that the cat's out of the bag, should we expect a change in the education and attitude of the Palestinians? Quote, quote. Don't hold your breath. Since the war between Israel and the Arabs is not a land war, a fact that's been proven over the years with numerous broken land-based treaties and a continued barrage of hundreds of thousands of missiles into Israel from an Israeli-free Gaza, finding a path to peace is virtually impossible. Israel's not going to negate their religious connection to the land, and Muslim Arabs are not going to negate the Islamic obligation to liberate all holy Muslim lands that were at one time caliphates from the infidels that currently occupy them. Now, the Palestinian Authority, both under Yasser Arafat and Mahmoud Abbas, have walked away from land-based agreements over the simple Israeli demand that they be recognized as a Jewish state. Perhaps an underhanded effort to torpedo peace talks by the Israelis, but also a clear indication that there could be no deal ever if Israel continues to insist on being recognized as a Jewish state. Israel has no option but to unilaterally, and it's my opinion, to unilaterally physically separate themselves from the Palestinian Authority and those under their rule, and the Palestinian Authority has no choice but to continue to develop more elaborate blood libels to continue their mission, the only mission they were created for, the complete destruction of the State of Israel, and now the United Nations is helping them, and we should all be outraged by that. Give me a call, 301-768-4841 in North America, in Israel, 02-650-0151. Let's go to the phones. Nathan from Melbourne, Australia, welcome to the program.
Hi, Howie. I actually agree with you wholeheartedly on what the Palestinians are trying to do. And also, Palestine isn't a country. It's not even a country.
Well, the United Nations have decided to internally recognize the state of Palestine. It has no official defined borders. The Palestinian people aren't real people. They were created in 1964. There are no Palestinian people. There's no historic people called Palestinians. So
correct.
So a group of people that were put together in 1964 with the sole intention of destroying the State of Israel. That's the only reason the Palestinian people were created in 1964, was to destroy the State of Israel from the inside out. The same reason, the only reason the BDS movement was created was to destroy the State of Israel from the inside out economically, when they realized they couldn't kill Israel. They couldn't kill Israel militarily. They're trying to kill Milk economically. So, United Nothing doing this this week is mind-boggling.
I still think the United Nations are nothing. They're absolutely a waste of space. And also the Palestinian Authority, they teach their children about Israel, that Israel shouldn't exist. And in their textbooks, most of Israel is cut out of their textbooks.
Well, they can't include Israel, the map of Israel, in their textbooks because they claim that Palestine is the same map. So if they show a map of Israel and say this is Israel, and we're trying to, this is Palestine, it would confuse the children. It's better to say Israel is occupying our land. Israel doesn't exist. They're occupying our land. Go and kill them. Be martyrs. Go kill them. Kill them in the name of Allah. To do that is much easier than trying to explain the political differences between why Israel has a map that looks exactly the same thing as the Palestinian map. Nathan,
and
thank you so much for calling.
Howie. And also, I just want to finish off to say that they want the self-destruction of the State of Israel, all Jews to be gone, and also they want the 67 border lines, and they want to make claim to East Jerusalem as their capital.
I have to disagree with you, Nathan. They don't want the 1967 lines. They want the pre-48 lines. That's really what they want.
Pre-48. Okay.
Pre-48. Thank you, Nathan, for calling. Appreciate it. From Melbourne,
Thank
Australia.
Thank you, Howie. Bye.
Bye. The numbers to call if you want to get on the conversation, 301-768-4841. In North America and Israel, 0265-00151. The we have to be clear, and we have to be careful in the way we speak. The lefties have always have been saying that all the Palestinian Authority wants is for Israel to retreat back to the pre-67 lines. That's what the lefties are saying, the European lefties, the American lefties. That's not what the Arabs who call themselves Palestinians are saying. So we have to listen to what they're saying, because we can't rely on the interpretation of Europeans to tell us what our enemies are thinking about us. We have to rely on what our enemies are telling us. Why do I have to doubt what my enemy is saying? If my enemies tell me I want to kill you, I'm not going to say, oh, maybe he means this. No. He says I want to kill you. He wants to kill me. There's no reason for me to doubt that my enemy wants to kill me when my enemy says I want to kill you. And they've been very, very clear, the Palestinian Authority, over the years. We just haven't been listening. Well, the world hasn't been listening. I've been listening. I'm sure a lot of you have been listening. The world hasn't been listening. They have said over and over again that they want to liberate all of Palestine in their mind and in their constitution, according to the Palestinian Authority, the PLO covenant. The borders of the state of Palestine, Palestine comprised of the borders of the British Mandate of Palestine, and is an indecisive territorial unit. In other words, there's no room within that land for a Jewish state. And take a look. When the PLO was offered 98% of everything they were demanded, and Jerusalem as their capital, with the only condition from Israel is that they recognize Israel as a Jewish state, they walked away from the table, because this is not a land war. I can't say this enough times. I can't say this enough years. This is not a land war. It has never been a land war. It is a pretense of a land war, but it's really not. It is a religious war. The Jewish state is a thorn in the side of the Muslim states that are surrounding it. The Jewish state is sitting on land that used to be a Muslim caliphate. It was part of the Ottoman Empire, which was a Muslim caliphate. And according to Islam, any land that was a Muslim caliphate, that was controlled by a Muslim government in a caliphate, is wholly Islamic land and could never be ruled by anybody else. There is no chance of peace with these people as long as Israel remains a Jewish state. It's simple. And everyone says that the Middle East is a very complicated fight. It's not complicated. It's quite simple. The Jews have a religious claim to the land. The Arabs have a religious connection to the land in their minds. They have a religious connection to the land. I'm Howie Silberger. This is Political Hitman. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Political Hitman.
I'm Howie Silberger, your political hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. You could join me in the chat room by going to IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, clicking on the orange button that says chat room. I'm in the chat room the entire show. There's a lively conversation going on in the chat room, and you could be part of that conversation. But even better conversation to be part of is on the phones with me. And you could give me a call in North America, 301-768-4841. In Israel, 02-6500-151. Let's go to the phones. Larry from Kansas. Hi, Larry.
Hey, how are you doing, Howie?
I am excellent. Thank God. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
Question is, how do people who claim to be Palestinians, how do they explain to their children that there's no archaeological evidence around to support their claims?
They don't have to. You see, what they do is they make it up. They go the other way. So what they say is that there's no archaeological evidence to prove that the Jews were there.
So
they flip it around the other way. So they'll tell their kids, look, the Jews who are living in the land, the Jews who came to the land, came in the 1800s and the 1900s, and they came and they usurped the people who were living there. So there was a whole nation of Palestinians living in this land, and the Jews came into the land, and they threw them all out. And that's why we have so many refugees.
And they stole all the archaeological evidence and built cities underground and buried them in the sand with coins and stuff like that.
There you go. When you want to create a blood libel, it's very easy, right? You want to create a history, it's very easy to brainwash a bunch of people, especially children. The problem is that in 1967, 1964 and 67, when the Palestinians started gaining traction, when their story, their false narrative started gaining traction, the Israelis didn't do enough to counter them and didn't do enough to shut them down. They were well-funded. The Palestinian Authority was well-funded, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. They were funded by Iran and Iraq.
I remember watching it on TV in 1967, and it was a definite bent against Israel at the time.
Oh, of course.
It was a bias.
Of course.
On all the U.S. news. I remember Peter Jennings and all of them.
Well, Peter Jennings was dating Hannah Ashrawi at the time, and Hannah Ashrawi was a big deal in the PLO. She was a big terrorist supporter, and he was dating her while he was the anchor on the news. It was ABC News. It was Peter Jennings.
How could he stand all that cigarette smoke? Remember how she used to smoke all the time? Never see her with a cigarette in her mouth.
But she was his girlfriend, and
a fine looking woman too, I may say.
Yeah, and so So here you have it, right? So you have the major anchor on a major network in the United States dating the leader of one of the leaders of this group of people who were claiming to be something they weren't. And she was an academic. She was Dr. Hannah Nashrawi. She was a professor at a university.
Yeah, I remember.
So
one other question I had about blood libel. I actually used to hear that occasionally in California. But it was from Hungarian refugees. I never heard that from a German, even when I was in Germany. But Hungarians, they seem to believe in that blood matzah recipe.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know where that came from, because Judaism is very clear. There's a clear law in Judaism that Jews aren't allowed eating blood. We take our meat after we kill the animals. We salt the meat to take the blood out of the meat, and we let them hang drip blood. So we're very, very careful not to eat blood. We check our eggs. Even a dot of blood in the egg, we throw the egg out. We're very, very careful not to eat blood, because it's a commandment from God that we're not allowed eating blood. You can't eat the blood you can't eat the blood from an animal. So these blood libels, just don't make any sense.
Did you ever read the poem, the Rabbi from Bacharach by Heinrich Heine?
Oh, maybe,
it was
maybe,
an unfinished
maybe,
poem.
Maybe 50 years ago.
I think he died in the middle of it, or maybe he died in World War II. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember reading that maybe 20 years ago. I don't remember it. But
I read it when I was in the eighth grade in 1957.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting thing about the blood libel. But anyway, good show tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Good information and a good chat room, too, if I say so myself.
Yeah, chat room is great. Thank you so much for calling, Larry. Appreciate it.
Okay, sure. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. That was Larry from Kansas. And you could be on the call. You could be on the phones too with me. If you want, in North America, give us a call at 301-768-4841. In Israel, 0265-00151. And Larry brings up a very good point when it comes to blood libels. We don't have Jews don't eat blood. So when you say that our matzahs are made out of the blood of virginal Christian children, if it was actually made out of blood of children or blood of any animal, we wouldn't be able to eat it. So why would we? I don't know. I don't get it. But people tend to believe this stuff. And the blood libels were responsible for the murder of millions and millions of Jews. over the centuries, millions and millions of Jews were killed due to false stories made up about Jews and what they do to other nations. And I've mentioned this before on the show. The reason I believe that these blood libels were made, and the reason I believe that the world hates Jews today as much as they hated them centuries ago, that nothing has changed, this continuous hatred of Jews, is simply because the world is jealous of the Jewish people. This is the only thing I could think of. This is the only reason I could think of that that this would be happening. The world is jealous of the Jewish people because, as such a small nation, there's only 15 million Jews in the entire world. Maybe 16 million. There's a debate over 15 or 16 million. But less than 20 million Jews in the entire world. Yet Jewish life in the world is so in your face. We are so advanced. Doctors, lawyers, inventors, Nobel science winners, actors. Anywhere you look, you see Jews. And I think the world is jealous. Aside from the fact, and if we go to religious aspect, aside from the fact that they are jealous that Jews are the chosen people, that God chose the Jews, and the Jews have the truth. They have the truth in the Torah, in the Jewish Bible, and I think this is what scares people. This is what makes people hate Jews. Now, I could be totally off my rocker, and if you don't agree with me, that's fine. You could join me in the chat room and yell at me, or you could call into the show 301-768-4841. Or in Israel, you could dial 02-650-0151. So if you don't agree with what I'm saying, that's fine too. Peter Jennings, the late Peter Jennings, we were talking about Peter Jennings before. He was not on CNN. Nathan in the chat room is saying that Peter Jennings was on CNN. He wasn't from CNN. Peter Jennings was on ABC News. He was the World News Tonight with Peter Jennings. And he dated Hannah Nashwari for years. It was an open secret. He couldn't date her openly because A, he was married, and B, he was covering the Middle East, first as a reporter, then as a news anchor, and to be dating one of the leaders of a terror group in the Middle East would not have looked very good for him at ABC. But it was an open secret among media types that he was dating her. And it was revealed a couple of times in various books. And I read a book written by Hannah Nashwari where she mentioned that she was dating Peter Jennings at the time. So the late Peter Jennings, she outed him there in the book. And that book came out maybe in the late 80s. And she mentioned in the book that she was dating him at the time, that he was her boyfriend. So there you go. There you go. Media bias. It's not new. It's not new at all. It's been around for a long time. Larry mentioned in 1957, he remembers after the 1967, excuse me, after the Six-Day War, that he remembers the media being against Israel, that the slant was against Israel. So is there any chance of Israel achieving a lasting peace with the PLO? The answer is no. Is there any chance of Israel achieving a lasting peace with Hamas? The answer is no. Is there any chance of Israel achieving a lasting peace with Hezbollah? The answer is no. So what is the solution in the Middle East? Quite simply, in my opinion, my humble opinion, and I've never been humble, the solution in the Middle East, the solution for Israel is be Israel. Don't try to please the world. Don't care what anybody else has to say. Do what you have to do to protect your country. Do what you have to do to protect your citizenship. Do what you have to do to stop terror, to stop rockets, and to stop people from killing your citizens. That's the job of the government of the state of Israel, and that's what they should do, regardless of what the world thinks. The world is never going to agree to a solution. The world is never going to agree with anything that Israel does to protect themselves. So Israel should stop caring what the world thinks. You don't need world money anymore. Israel makes enough money now that they don't have to worry about America or about France or England pulling their financial aid. Israel's in a position now where they could do what they have to do to protect themselves. They could do what they have to do to save their citizens. And the sooner the better. I'm glad Israel's going to election. I'm glad there's an election coming up. And I'm hoping that the election will bring in fresh blood into the Israeli government. Strong Jewish leaders who will do what they have to do to protect the country and protect the citizens. I'm Howie Silberger. This is Political Hitman. We're heard every Wednesday here on Israel News Talk Radio. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Israel News Talk Radio for putting me on the air every week. I want to thank Kalman in the studio and everybody in the chat room for this great conversation that happened in the chat room. And I want to say that I will see you again next week, because there's always politics. We're always going to talk about it. We have a laser focus, and we ain't going to give up. We're always going to tell you the truth. I'm Howie Silberger. This has been Political Hitman. See you next week.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.